for their hashtags.
A dissection of pop culture past
with Eric Dallinger
and Carlianna Billings.
Hello and welcome to Before There Were Hashtags. I am your host, Eric Dallinger, and I am not here with Carlianna Billings. What? Well, it's been a little bit since we've done a podcast, but if you listen to the last one, I did mention that, you know, we'd be switching it up a little bit, and I'm here with my good friend Luke. Luke has been on the pod before. Go listen to the Janet Jackson episode. Hi, Luke.
Hi. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. To me.
To you.
Your favorite co-host, Luke Opdahl. Yes. The Pleasure Principle is back.
What?
It's a Janet Jackson reference.
Right.
It's me, Luke, or Mr. Opdahl if you're nasty.
Yes, love it. Oh my goodness. Well, me and Luke are currently doing a show together.
Yes,
oh my goodness.
Are. Theater is back. Theater is alive.
We are in the province of Alberta where COVID does not exist.
No, it does not, but we do. And we are here doing Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. We are two queens doing a Queen of the Desert musical. We're having a blast.
Our Australian accents?
Yes. We've been deep in rehearsals for Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. And we've also been doing understudy rehearsals, which is why it's taken a little bit longer for us to do a podcast. But we decided now that those are done, we can start doing some podcasts for y'all.
Yes. Well, Luke is understudy extraordinaire and understudying two of the leads. Yeah. And I am understudy not extraordinaire, who is understudying the most background characters of background characters.
I would say extraordinaire, yes. Understudy a lot, no. But extraordinary at what he does, 100%. Eric Dallinger is killing it.
I'm really good at my five lines of understudy.
But needless to say, I said, not until I'm done can we do the podcast. And Eric said, okay. No, he's been a very, very sweet, supportive friend. And let us say that it's worth the wait because today's podcast is going to be definitely extraordinary.
So, lady, it's going to split your kitty.
Yes. It's going to be so gay. We're going to say, hey.
Oh, my God. I hate you. Stop. Ugh.
Anyways, but before we get to that, isn't there something we need to do, Eric?
Yeah, we have to gas up our time machine, so I'm going to put five minutes on the timer.
I mean, is it only 5 minutes? Because with inflation, those gas prices have gone real up to gas up this time machine.
That's totally fair. And it's been a while, so we might have a lot to talk about.
We might have to do 6 minutes with inflation, but no, we have lots to talk about. Is the timer set?
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So what exciting things have been happening, Luke?
Should we start with the sad one that Britney Spears lost the baby?
Yeah,
really sad news.
I don't think we've even talked about Britney Spears announcing that she was pregnant.
So she was pregnant. She's no longer pregnant, but we still love her, still support her.
We still.
Britney, our hearts go out to you.
Yeah, you know, she's had a tough year. I mean, a good year in the sense that her conservatorship ended, but she's had a tough time in life.
Yeah,
and is she married? I don't think she's married yet. She's engaged.
Right. She's engaged. She's engaged.
She's engaged.
And she's in Vegas right now.
Yes. Her Sam Asghari is younger than us. Did you know that?
We're going to move past that. No, but we love you, Brynn, and we're sorry for your loss, but also happy for all the happy things that happened to you.
Yes, of course. Kourtney Kardashian got married.
She did, in a beautiful, very short wedding dress with a veil that had Mother Mary on it.
Yeah, it had the Virgin Mary on the veil.
God bless.
She got married in Italy to Travis Barker, the
Travis
drummer.
Scott.
The drummer from Blink-182.
Okay, but listen, let's say what the real new news is that Eric, over this contract, has gotten me into Selling Sunset, and we are fully caught up, and yes, we did watch the reunion, and yes, the drama was real. I'm so sad for Chrishell, but now she is with the they-them, and we're happy for her. We are sad that Christine didn't show up.
Yeah.
Is she going to be on season 6? We don't know.
To be honest, the reunion was a little bit lackluster because Christine didn't show up, and all the whole drama was with Christine the whole season.
The whole season. And Amanza, who also was sick and couldn't go, but...
But she at least zoomed in and looked fabulous.
She looked amazing. Let's talk about the most recent news. All-Stars 7, All Winners Season. Two episodes dropped. First episode, amazing. Second episode, legend. Wait for it. Dairy. That Snatch Game will go down in all Snatch Games.
You know what? It was both simultaneously the best Snatch Game that there ever was with the best Snatch Game performance that there ever was.
Ever was.
Everybody
Jinx
was...
Monsoon. I bow down to the...
Yes. Everybody was good. There wasn't really a bad Snatch Game. That being said...
Phoebe Oddly.
That's fair. That's fair. You know... Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't
it was
terrible.
Because they were all so good.
Yeah.
Comparatively to last season where they had all lip sync because
they were all so
terrible.
Bad.
So it was just like, Evie was a mediocre one in a great amount of Snatch Game.
I was disappointed with the Vivian who like killed her original Snatch Game. And once again, not a bad Snatch Game.
Not a bad Snatch Game.
Just didn't live up
but
to
it. But also very British.
Very British.
Very
That's
American
true.
Snatch Game. That's if she true. Would have done it on the British season, they might have edited her to be a little bit better.
I mean, that's the thing that you have to admit with Snatch Game. It is the most heavily edited challenge. They can do the most with it. They can make somebody that did good look bad and somebody that 100%. Did bad look good.
100%. But Jinx, playing Judy, referencing her veteran...
On season 5.
...saying killed Judy, and she brought it back saying that she was...
Watching
she
the realization
him.
In Rue and Michelle's Michelle. Eyes is the maybe the most entertaining
like, if
thing I've
win
ever
the
seen.
Snatch Game, we're done. Like that was incredible.
Oh yeah, who are we rooting for?
Jinx. I'm rooting for Jinx.
Yeah,
I'm Team Jinx.
I think I'm Team Jinx as well. I'm Jinx or Shay, who, spoiler alert,
is
5-4-3-2-1 have won the first two challenges for Sorry. Reasons.
But yeah, she was she had a flawless All Stars. I think we're in for a flawless All Stars too.
My only thing with the season so far is that they're being so nice. Like I need some more cutthroatness from Rue and Michelle.
I think they knew the first two episodes were going to drop, so they didn't want to do it. I think the cutthroatness is going to come.
Yeah.
But also, it's their favorite winners. I think the cutthroatness is going to come from the queens themselves.
Yeah.
I'm
will,
also pumped that they're not cutting anybody.
Yes, yes. So that's kind of fun. I was disappointed that they teased extra contestant and then it ended up being fake.
Yeah, I wanted Raven to compete.
I wanted Raven to compete.
I mean, Rue would have been screwed because her face would have been messed up. But like, other than
oh
that, Rue would have been so happy to see Raven compete.
And Raven looked incredible.
Incredible. Is that 5 minutes?
And that's it. That's 5 minutes.
Oh, man.
We can't talk about it anymore, but we can talk about something else.
We can talk about something else.
Something extremely fun. Something very formative to both our childhoods.
Literally, probably one of the most formative movies of my childhood. The first adult film I ever saw, and that is...
adult film. It wasn't...
Sorry, not adult film. What is it?
We are adult film connoisseurs.
I mean, film that was mostly for adults, and I was probably too young to see it in theaters, and that is
Center Stage. Yes. Yeah, Center Stage is a 2000 American teen drama film directed by Nicholas
Heitner.
I hope I'm pronouncing that right. There's going to be a lot of names I'm going to mess up. You guys know me. And it is about a group of young American dancers of different backgrounds and all that such.
Different abilities. Turnout Jody.
Use your turnout.
There's
room for a triple. I want a clean double. There's room for a triple.
Oh, I love this movie so much. I'm sorry, keep going.
So it's about a fictional ballet company and ballet school called the American Ballet Academy, which is sort of the feeder
ABC?
Program to the American Ballet Company, ABC. And it is loosely based off of the American Ballet Theater and ABT. The New York City Ballet.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. All the drama... All the dancing, all the amazingness. I love this movie so much. It is both parts amazing, both parts terrible.
Oh, well, it's a 2000 teen drama. It's like on the same vein as like Bring It On, where you're like, yeah, it's not a like quintessential great film, but it is entertaining.
I'm going to shout out my friend Jodie Whitfield right now, who we're both obsessed with this movie. And every time I see her, I do say, Turn out Jodie. So... Hi, Jody.
Yes.
Speaking of Jody, main character.
Main character Jody, played by
Amanda Scholl.
S-C-H-U-L-L. Yeah, so what this movie actually did really cool was that they casted real ballet dancers rather than actors.
You have to say cast. Casted is not a word.
Oh my gosh, I hate you. You know what?
The one thing about theater school that I've learned is never say casted.
You know what? Language is malleable. Shakespeare spelt his name 6 different ways, and not one of them is the way we spelled it. He also created words. So maybe casted is a word because I have announced it as a word.
Okay.
And if you're wondering why there's like jet planes in the background, it's because we are definitely recording outside right now.
And it's the first time it's been nice weather in Calgary, and we're not going inside until it's disgusting out.
Until it's cold, because it's supposed to rain tomorrow.
But yes, Jodie, love her. And yes, this is a movie that cast both ballet dancers and actors. And yes, it is very apparent who were cast as dancers and who were cast as actors. Because some of the doubles are very plain to see.
Yeah.
And some of the dancing by the actors is very plain to see that they're not ballet dancers. But do we love them still? Yes, we do. Is it apparent? Very much so, the dancing from the dancers and the non-dancers.
Well, Amanda, she was a real dancer, but... The film actually kind of mirrors her own life. So she had just finished at the San Francisco Ballet School.
Right.
And she had just done her final showcase. And this was, she had no acting experience before the show. So she had just sort of went through her own Jodie experience of being...
I would say she is the only one that can really dance and act. Like, she is the one person in this movie that's a beautiful actor, beautiful dancer.
Yeah. Well, she, the actress, Amanda, would go on to be in Suits.
Yes.
If you watch Suits, she plays Katrina in Suits.
Done a few things.
Yeah.
I've seen her in a few things, and I'm like, why do I know her? Jodie. It's Jodie.
Well, funny enough, I was telling our associate stage
Jodie
manager.
Sawyer. Sorry, Jodie Sawyer, if you're wondering
Jodie
what her full name is.
What a Midwestern name.
Yeah, that is a 2000s. We want you to relate to her. Jodie Sawyer.
Just, so generic that everybody can cast themselves into the character.
Yeah, 100%. We love her.
Other notable actors, Zoe Saldana is in this film. It was her first film.
Amazing actress. The doubles are very apparent.
Yeah. I did watch an interview today, and, she was very open the fact that she had dance doubles.
I mean, it's just hard, because you can tell, she's a beautiful actress, plays the role amazing. We love her. She's sassy. She's amazing. But when they're ever doing a shot of her, doing arms, you can tell it's you've never done ballet. You're not a ballet dancer. She's done ballet, but you're not a ballet dancer. And then when they go apart, you're like, that is not her dancing. But is she one of my favorite actresses in the movie? 100%.
Well,
we love her.
One of my favorite scenes is when they're doing the pas de deux class, and you can tell she is not doing the feet. It's shot waist up, but, the background dancers are all doing, beautiful arabesques, and she's just doing the arms.
100%.
But that's also my favorite scene with my favorite line. I am your slave. I'd believe it more if you weren't staring at your own fucking reflection.
I love him.
He was actually a figure skater.
Yeah.
A Russian figure skater. What's his name? I have it in my notes. Ilya. I can't pronounce Russian last names.
No, but he is Russian and he is amazing in this movie.
Sergei.
But not gay.
You know what? That's... Okay, I mean, we're jumping all over the place in terms of...
Should we start from the beginning of the movie? Should we do a synopsis of what the movie is?
Yeah,
give the people what they want.
Exactly. If you don't know the movie, Jodie auditions for ABC, or ABA, I should say, and she gets in. And from the beginning of the movie, it's sort of hinted that she's not the technically most brilliant, gifted dancer, but that she has a passion, she has a light that burns in her that
performance
shines
quality.
Through. Yes. And then, so it's all about her struggles throughout the ballet school and her basically being told that she doesn't really have the gift of ballet. And then through it, there is also a love triangle between Cooper Nielsen, who
the ballet star.
The ballet star, principal ballet dancer of the American Ballet
and
Company.
A little bit of a playboy.
Bad boy. And then fellow dance student, ballet student, Charlie, who is the nice boy, the nice one.
Who is new to the school and also just as talented as Cooper. We will soon find out.
Are you team Cooper or team Charlie?
It's hard to say. I love Cooper Nielsen because he's a bad boy and he's amazing. But Charlie is the nice one, but he's not acted well. Cooper Nielsen, whoever, I forget who his name is, who plays him, he's
Ethan,
an amazing actor and an amazing dancer, whereas Charlie beautiful dancer, love him, so hot, cannot act.
Yeah, so Ethan, you guys know me, I'm so dyslexic, so I can't read names.
Love him, amazing. He's now, like, I think he actually does the American Ballet Theater. He's, like, one of their principal teachers.
Well, that's, okay, yes, he is, but here's the thing. Okay, we're jumping all over the place.
Sorry, friends.
But, so Ethan Steffiel, that's how I'm going to pronounce his name. I'm sorry if it's wrong. Played Cooper Nielsen. He's like an instructor and choreographer, director at the American Ballet. But Sasha Radetzky, who is Charlie, he's actually the artistic director of the studio theater in the American Ballet Theater. So he, in real life, Charlie is Cooper's boss.
Yep.
So it's actually reversed.
But to be fair, if we were going to go along with what the movie was going to say, I would believe that. That eventually Charlie would be Cooper's.
Oh, boss. Yeah.
Because Cooper was never, he never was a play by the rules dancer in the company. He starts his own company anyways, but
yeah.
Whereas Charlie was more like, this is what I want to do.
So back to the plot.
The thin plot.
This
beautiful film.
It's not like super thin, it's just like all over the place.
Like all the dancers.
It's an ensemble film, so it follows Jody, who is struggling with, you know, not really having the goods, but having the passion for it.
Maureen,
who is sort of the
most talented one, but doesn't have the heart.
Yes,
to quote,
the opposite.
Her mom had the feet.
You had the feet.
I didn't have the heart.
I don't have the heart.
No, I have the feet. Oh, yeah.
No, okay. It's, you had the heart, but not the feet. I have the feet.
But not the heart.
But not the heart.
Yeah. So Maureen, the star dancer who doesn't really want to be...
Who is the best goddamn dancer in the American Ballet. Who the hell are you?
Nobody.
Also, Zoe Saldana's character, Ava, who...
Ava, who has the talent, but could care less about being a technically strong dancer or following any of the rules.
Yeah, she's... You know what? This is an interesting fact. I found out today that there's a whole subplot cut from the film for Ava, that her brother was going to be a taxi driver. They filmed all the scenes, that her brother was a taxi driver in New York to, like, stay with her and be with her through the whole process, and he dies in a car crash, and that's when she, like, flips and decides that, like, no, like, ballet's for me, I'm dancing for myself and for my brother. But they cut that whole subplot in editing.
Honestly, love that journey. Doesn't need to be there.
Well, that's the
thing. I think her flipping on her own is more powerful than her flipping because her brother died in a car accident.
Yeah.
Because we just learned that she seems like she doesn't care, but she doesn't care because she doesn't want to get her heart invested because she's never had the opportunity.
And you know what?
Which is a way better story of her being, like, kind of disenfranchised but super talented, and finally she gets to be there, but she doesn't believe that she will actually be there because she's a person of color, which also in 2000... Still today, not just 2000, but it's very much doesn't have a place in ballet. So the fact that she is super talented and she's already kind of a level below, so she doesn't want to get her hopes up. But then, again, spoiler alert, she gets to be the star in the feature.
When Maureen steps down.
When Maureen steps down, she gets to go in there and show what she has. So I love that journey better for her than it being about someone else's journey, making her flip. I love that she comes to it herself, being like,
totally.
No, I believe in myself now.
Well, you know what, it's really interesting that you mentioned diversity because I was watching an interview with Zoe Saldana about the film, and she at one point wanted to pursue a career in ballet and felt that there wasn't a place for her because she just didn't see herself represented and that there isn't a lot of diversity in the ballet world. And being a part of this film sort of got to fulfill that need of her being a ballet dancer. And also she now feels that in some ways she gets to be the representation of ballet for all these little Black girls that get to watch the film
100%.
And see themselves in classical ballet. And now it even gets to be mirrored with, like, Missy Copeland and real fabulous Black ballet dancers that exist. And not just Black, but all sorts of different
100%,
diversity.
Yeah.
Especially because Zoe Saldana being both Black and of Puerto Rican descent. So,
and to be fair, as much as I say she wasn't a great dancer, as a kid, I believed that all the doubles were her. So I didn't, it's only now when you're actually danced for many, many years. And if you're a muggle, as we say, someone who's not a performer, you wouldn't really notice. It's only when you actually are a dancer that you go, that's not, you wouldn't be invited to be in here. But her acting is so good in this movie.
It was her first film.
Which is incredible. I'm shocked, because I think she's one of the best actors in this whole movie. Mm-hmm.
There's also a few other, like, fun subplots, you know. There is, I mean, a little bit of a subplot that I feel doesn't get enough recognition is the character of Eric, who is sort of a representation of, like, queer men in
ballet.
Wait,
you care about the character named Eric? Shocking.
He spells it with a K, so I don't like it.
I mean, I never see it spelled in the movie, but fair.
Well, I'm looking at it right now.
No, he's so funny, and obviously the underrepresentation of gays in ballet is shocking in this movie.
You know what? That is something that I noticed, but yeah, he has no romantic storyline. It's never even, I think, truly explicitly said that he's gay. It's just implied.
No, it's said.
It's said?
He tries to hit on Charlie.
Oh, okay, true.
And the only, like, the real representation of gays in the ballet world is when the girls go gay or straight, and he says they find out that he's straight, and they're
he waves, and
he's straight, which is very much any theater art school. I know that's the reason I came out, was when all the girls first week of school were like, are you gay or straight? That's every question of, or at least was in that mm-hmm. time period, is what you get asked when you go to theater school or ballet school. Everyone wants to know, because it's a very small pool of boys to begin with, and the pool of straight performers is even smaller. So
yes,
that is a very accurate representation of what happens. But also, the fact that there's only one gay character in this ballet company is shocking.
Yeah.
But also, it is 2000. So
it is 2000.
The fact that they had a gay character is...
And he breaks his leg and doesn't get to dance.
True.
He wasn't a real ballet dancer, the actor.
No.
James Gordon. Nope, sorry.
James Corden?
No.
In another dance movie, musical movie.
No, sorry.
That was awful. That was a terrible joke.
Donna Murphy is in this film as Juliet Simon. And yeah, so she is a 5-time Tony nominee. Yes, 5 times. And has won the Tony for her role in Passion and The King and I. So, Broadway legend. All right. Yes, so we have moved inside because there was a helicopter circling our house making a lot of annoying noise.
15 magpies just talking the whole time. So hopefully you didn't hear too many birds. Anyways, talking about one of my most favorite parts of the movie was with sweet Donna Murphy as Juliet Simone, or Julie Simon before she changed her name, which we learned in the movie she did. When sweet Ava is practicing her understudy role, Juliet walks in watching her, and she comes to her and she's super frustrated, and she hits the bar and she says, "This is your home." And every time that part happens, I just cry as a dancer, because we all know the bar, you can always go back there no matter how frustrated you are, no matter how injured you are, you can always go to the bar and dance. And I just love that moment so much. And I think Donna Murphy's just such an incredible actress. She should have had all 5 Tonys, but that's just my opinion. But I think we were still talking about the plot of this movie.
You know, this podcast is just a series of tangents with a common theme.
So true. Anyways, but it's about all these dancers going through ballet school. So basically, what this movie's leading up to is their big showcase. So they all get picked for their separate showcase pieces. There's the ones by the teachers, but there's also this new piece by Cooper Nielsen, who's the principal dancer, and this is his first time choreographing a routine. And so Jody Sawyer and Charlie are both picked for this new Nielsen piece with Eric. Yes, don't forget Eric. And it's sort of edgy, and Cooper's bringing in this new benefactor who, spoiler alert, is going to finance his company when this piece goes really well.
Yeah.
But of course, he starts to lead Jody along in sort of a love affair.
They take dance class. They go to basically sort of a stand-in for Broadway Dance Center.
But it's actually Steps.
Is it actually
Steps? It's Steps.
Yeah,
they record at Steps. Which, fun fact, is actually, what's her name's class? Susan Stroman. It's all Susan Stroman's choreography in her class.
I was going to get to that.
So it's basically her class with all of her dancers from Contact. So if you've ever watched any Susan Stroman musical, you see all of her dancers in this class. But yes, they're not allowed to take any classes outside of the ballet at ABC, but
my favorite
Jody
moment
goes
is
out,
when she goes, what type of class would you like? Anything but ballet.
Which any dancer has ever said many times when you go to take class outside of your studio, you go, anything but ballet.
Yeah.
Although now I do like taking ballet classes, so that's not true. But yes, she gets a splash of what other kind of dancing is, as if she's never danced anything but ballet her whole life.
It's very a la Metro Movement Theater Jazz.
Very much. Shout out to Steph Graham. Thank you for Theater Jazz. But yes, it's very jazzy and not ballet, and they're all there to have fun, and they're all there to see their friends, and it's very different from the cutthroatness of the ballet school, which is very fun to see. And it gets a little sexy. There's some hip thrusts. Mm-hmm. There's some hip rolls.
Fun fact, I did a solo to Higher Ground because of this film.
Honestly, I've wanted to do a solo to Higher Ground forever because of this film.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers version.
And I think I still might at some point. We'll see. That dance class is amazing.
But I mean, like, I personally danced a solo to this. Like, not like I choreographed it. Like, I danced it when I was a kid.
I love that journey for you. I love that so much. I've always wanted to dance in some pleather pants to Higher Ground. Because that dance class is amazing. I love that they have the boys dance and then the girls dance, as if they could have time to teach a class where boys were taught one thing and the girls were taught another combo.
Oh, the class is 5 minutes and they all know the choreography already.
I mean, some classes now, they teach the same combo for 3 classes in a row, and then you film with the last one, so everyone who's there for the
I know,
classes
but Jody knows it.
She's an amazing dancer.
That's true. She has that fire.
If she only had the turnout, she would be the best dancer at ABC, but no, she doesn't have the turnout.
She doesn't have the turnout. And then after that, Cooper, actor's name is Ethan, dancer's name is Ethan. Cooper takes her home, and they have a little sexy night.
Just some Mandy Moore music.
I love the stretching as the candy. I'm missing you like candy, yeah.
And then they get down to some, I wanna be with you.
I'm obsessed.
It's only for the night.
Also, that was Ethan's first, it was the first scene he shot in the movie, was the sex scene.
I mean, usually they get those ones out of the way, but yeah. I remember being there as a child, and that was the moment where I was like, should I be here? Should I be here? 8-year-old Luke was like, is this the scene should be watching? And then it went back to dancing and it was okay. But mm-hmm. That was the first one where I went, this is not a movie for children. This is different than Flipper.
And while Cooper is having his fun with Jody, lusting or pining after Jody is also Charlie, who's kind of playing the nice guy the whole movie.
Very much so. Very much playing the nice guy. Who's just as talented as Cooper, but he's also there for his own reasons. He wants to be a ballet dancer.
He wants to be a ballet dancer. He loves it. And Sasha, who played Charlie, his first scene that he filmed was the fairy scene. And Amanda, who was playing Jody, was so motion sickness that when she was vomiting the whole time while filming.
Oh my gosh.
They had a kiss.
And she was the one that didn't throw up in that scene. Maureen's the one that's throwing up on the fairy.
Well, yeah.
Okay, spoiler alert.
Spoiler, yeah.
And also, trigger alert. There is a new shortage in this movie.
Yes. In fact, Emily almost gets kicked out of the school for being overweight, even though she's not overweight at all. And Maureen has bulimia.
But it is a commentary. Luckily, this is one of those 2000 movies that is commenting on it as this is a bad thing.
Yes.
Like, Emily's mom is like, you're all beautiful. You don't need to be doing this to your bodies. This is not what ballet dancers should do. It's not like, this is the body you should have and this is what you need to do. It's one of those movies that actually is depicting it as a negative.
It's woke.
Yeah. For some parts. I'd say for most part, actually, this is a pretty...
It's a pretty woke film.
Pretty woke film.
For the 2000s movie, it could be queerer.
Truly. But...
As we mentioned.
The queer representation isn't terrible.
Yeah, it's not bad queer representation. No. It's just not... Very visible.
Not very visible. For a ballet school.
And we'll skip to the end. They do their big performance, and Maureen, of course, steps down so that Ava can go on. So Zoe Saldana does the beautiful dance in the white gown. Doesn't even tell her dance partner, Sergei, before she goes on.
Which you should never do. If you're a professional, never not tell your partner that you're not going on. always alert some people that your understudy is going on.
Yeah.
Just a good practice. You don't want to shock people on stage. But yes, Maureen steps down and has to tell her mother that she does not want to be a professional dancer. She's learned from her doctor boyfriend, which is also a plot point, that dance isn't the entire world and that she can do other things. Mm-hmm. Just because you're good at something doesn't mean you should do it.
Yeah.
Which is a good lesson.
Eric breaks his leg,
so Cooper Nielsen has to step into his own contemporary ballet number, and the movie gets very meta in that his whole ballet is about Jody choosing between two men, and now it happens to be between Charlie and Cooper on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And then she learns she doesn't need either of them.
But it's also like a subplot because Cooper has broken up with his wife in the film, played by Julia Kent as Kathleen Donahue. And
I don't think they were married.
Well, they were, or they're together.
They're together. And
then
they
break up
marries
and
she
dates Peter Gallagher's character, Jonathan Reeves.
Who's the
so the whole ballet
the
is supposed to be
about him,
about her and Peter Gallagher's character. Also, Peter Gallagher from The O.C. is in this film, just so you
amazing.
Know.
He plays the director of the ballet company. But then because Cooper goes in, it's also about
Jody
and Charlie versus Cooper. And then she learns that she doesn't need them. And she does the most unrealistic quick change there's ever been, where
she
ducks down and her whole costume plus her point shoes change color and she stands up and does an amazing dance.
Well, we didn't even mention the tutu that spins.
We love that.
There's a tutu. He pulls the tutu and it unravels into the burgundy gown. It's
amazing.
A moment.
It's a moment. I'll also say they also have a very sexual bed dance scene, which I would say to young Luke at 8 years old was more sexual than the actual sex scene. I was like,
oh yeah,
sexy dancing. She like is in a bra and a ballet skirt. And it was scandalous when I was a kid.
Scandal.
But then the rest of the dance number is amazing, which was all done by Miss Susan
Stroman. Yes, Susan Stroman.
And music by Jamiroquai, which we love that soundtrack so much. She's got Can't Eat in her heels tonight. Bebe.
Obsessed. You know, it's one of my favorite scenes, though, is when it's Cooper and Charlie, and Cooper's like challenging Charlie to do all the steps, and they're like, he's like, I changed it, and then he does like
the double cabriole.
It's so good.
The way we make you feel when he comes off that motorcycle and does the double cabriole on the motorcycle.
Also, there were no motorcycles written into the script. They added that because Ethan can
ride a motorcycle.
He has a motorcycle. Like that's more him than it is Cooper.
Interesting. I love that journey. But yes. Yeah, the way it made me feel, which I did do a dance trio in high school to that because of this movie. It was me and two girls as opposed to two guys and a girl.
And were they fighting over you?
Yes, they were. They 100% were. We basically just reversed it.
I love that. And in real life, that never happened because
never.
It'd be two boys.
It never happened. But and I also didn't drive a motorcycle, so, you know. But in my head, it was center stage.
It was center stage. And yeah, so yeah, the final dance is iconic. She has the red dress and the point she's changed to red.
And she does those fuerte turns. Dance,
dance,
dance, dance, dance. And the curtain drops and she falls out of that turn. But she doesn't care because the curtain was already down.
She doesn't care. The curtain was already down.
She nails those turns until they drop that curtain and then she falls out of those turns. And she's a real human. And then she has to decide between, well, she gets offered the lead in Cooper Nielsen's new company.
Well,
and then they all have to go on interviews to find out if they're going to make it into the American Ballet Company. And she famously turns it down. She doesn't want to know if she makes
it. She doesn't want to know.
Because if she makes it, she doesn't want to have to be the sadness of turning it down to be the principal dancer in Cooper Nielsen's new company.
She knows that she would just be in the core waving a rose in the back.
So she's going to decline. So we actually never know if she would have made it into the company.
It's kind of the perfect ending. Zoe Saldana makes it in.
Until they all hand her roses because she's Cooper Nielsen's, which would never happen.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, it's the perfect ending because she just decides for herself. She doesn't need to know if she makes it into the Alberta Ballet Company.
That's staying in.
It's the perfect ending because she knows she doesn't make it to the American Ballet Company. Oh no, we've been about it for too long.
Eric makes it in.
Eric does make it in, even broken foot and all.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie makes it in.
Charlie makes it in, and then...
But they still decide to be...
Well, there's the famous line, she has to make her decision between Charlie and Ethan. Sorry, between Charlie and Cooper. I'm getting actors and characters mixed up.
It's fine.
But Cooper and Charlie, and she has her famous line to Cooper. Cooper, you're a great ballet dancer, but as a boyfriend, you kind of suck.
Which he does. Which she's very right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she ends up with Charlie. So Cooper gets his dancer, but Charlie gets the girl.
And then we do end up with the montage of them all in their respective ballet companies.
Yes.
Which is amazing.
It is great. And there's a lot more to it, but you should watch it.
Definitely 100% recommend this movie. I don't know. I think it's fun. It's silly. It's... Some of the acting is mediocre. Some of the dancing is mediocre. But overall, it's just a really fun movie.
Mm-hmm. Distributed by Columbia Pictures through Sony Pictures Releasing. It was released on May 12th, 2000. It has a runtime of 111 minutes. And it made $26.3 million at the box office.
It's just had two sequels?
It's had two sequels, yeah. So the first sequel came out... When did it come out? I have it in my note. Here it is. Yeah, the first sequel came out November 1st, 2008, and it premiered on the Oxygen Channel. And so, like, made for TV.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's different. Its only connections to the original film is Peter Gallagher is still the head of... Peter Gallagher's character.
Yeah.
Is still the head of the American Ballet Academy, and Cooper Nielsen makes like a brief right. appearance in it, but it's pretty much an independent film. And then there was another sequel released June 25th in 2016, and I actually haven't seen this one, so I
That's
can't
one
really
I actually
speak
have seen.
It. It's called Center Stage On Point, and it stars Chloe Lukasiak from Dance Moms.
Yeah, that one they go to like a summer school.
Right.
And the reason it was because there's a few Canadian dancers because it's filmed in BC. And that one, I actually think...
Yeah, Sasha or...
comes back in.
Charlie comes back in
and he's now the head of ABT.
Yeah.
And he choreographs a piece. But yeah, it's
kind of like
none of them
were
the same as or as good as the original.
Well, it's like Bring It On where it's like there's no...
There's the name.
No
the name and the fact that it's ballet. And here yeah. we are. Here is the connection to this movie. 100%.
Do we want to hear about some of the fun reviews? Because
100%.
They were not positive.
Shocking. I mean, this is definitely a movie for dancers. So anyone else watching it, good luck.
Yeah, so the film holds a 42% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
The New York Times wrote, the movie steamrolls through the scenes with more efficiency than grace, is what was written.
Yikes.
Yep. And it seems like it, I'm paraphrasing, but it seems that you can tell when there should be commercial breaks. So, suggesting that it's more of a made-for-TV
Okay,
movie.
I wouldn't agree with that. I think it stays as a movie. I don't think it feels like a made-for-TV movie.
And it compares it to the choreography to Dirty Dancing.
No, I will say the choreography is really great.
It
Christopher Wheeldon and Susan Stroman are both amazing choreographers and did an amazing job. And only as a dancer do you appreciate all the dance numbers, because they don't really cut a lot of them. Like, that's the thing about this movie, is like mm-hmm. they show full dance numbers
yeah.
within the movie. Like, they don't really, it's not like most dance movies where they cut in and out. Like, you see the full ballet pieces, you see the full Cooper Nielsen number, you see the full choreography of the jazz class, and they were smart in casting or hiring two different choreographers. So Christopher Wheeldon does all the classical ballet stuff, who's an amazing, amazing ballet choreographer. And then Susan Stroman does all the sort of more jazzy contemporary stuff, which I thought was really smart. And you can really tell the difference between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they both made names for themselves in the dance world and musical theater world. So,
yeah. Contact Music writes, where is it? The characters are as one-dimensional as their struggles.
I mean, to be fair, they are very one-dimensional characters. Like, this is the sassy one. This is the perfectionist one. This is the one
yeah.
that you have to... This is the ingenue. This is the boy that... The good boy. This is the bad boy.
Yeah.
I will give them that. They are very much... how do you say it?
They're one-dimensional.
One-dimensional. Yeah, they're very
they
much
have one
in
trait
in their zones, in their
because
lanes.
It's such an ensemble film, it's like, this is the one that's struggling.
You need to know who they are right away, and they have to say that the whole movie. Fair enough. I will give that. I'll give that to the reviewer.
Yeah.
But, like, that soundtrack slaps.
Oh, 100%.
I listen to that soundtrack often. I'll just be like, put on the Center Stage soundtrack. It's so good.
And we're dancing, and it feels all right. I can't control my desire. So good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Higher Ground.
Higher Ground.
Come, baby, come to me.
When they go to the Mambo Club, all the ballet dancers go to the
Oh,
Latin
my gosh.
Club.
That's when Sergei can't get a girl to dance with him. And whenever he's like, I'm a ballet dancer. So he finally goes, Mafia. Gets the old woman to dance with him.
It's so good. Yeah, that soundtrack is so good. Jamiroquai, Mandy Moore. The girl group that we learned wasn't Mandy Moore, but it still sounds like Mandy Moore.
Yes, PYT.
If you don't watch the movie, at least listen to the soundtrack, but definitely watch this movie. I would give it a 9 out of 10.
And
nostalgically.
Yeah. Oh,
I would give it a 9 out of 10.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. I love it. It's great.
Even if you're not a ballet dancer, it's still got some great things. But I will say, if you are a ballet dancer, it represents you very well. The scene where they show everything they do to those pointe shoes, they scrape them, they wet them, they rip them apart. Like, that is the most realistic representation of ballet dancers I've ever seen in my entire life. Because those, you get your beautiful pointe shoes, and that if you are a ballet dancer, you know, you rip them to shreds, you destroy them so that you can dance in them. Like,
oh, 100%.
You hit them, you wet them, you scrape them. It's that one montage of them getting their pointe shoes is the most realistic ballet scene in the entire movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's so much that, as a theater school alum, like, I recognize. Even being, like, sat down and somebody telling you that it may not be for you is, like...
100%.
You have to know if it really
if it is.
And there's nothing wrong realizing that it's not for you.
There's nothing wrong with realizing. And that's why I like the Maureen journey, because it's, like, just because you're the most talented does not mean that you need to do this as a career.
Yeah.
Which... people learn, and you see it every day as people who are performers. You see people that are like super talented, but they're like, I'd rather do something else. And you're like, think, oh.
Yeah.
And then they do, and they're so happy and they're so good at it. So, yeah, I think this movie is a really, really great movie. It's definitely nostalgic. It's definitely 2000, 100%.
Oh, it's so 2000.
I definitely have a soft spot for it because I saw it in theaters as a young child, and it was a little bit scandalous, but also made me want to be a dancer. And I watch it probably at least once a year,
mm-hmm.
at least.
And
I
still make references to the choreography.
Always.
Like, oh, just all the time doing that, like the head back and forth.
Head back and forth.
Where they move their hips and are on their toes.
Yep. On the pointe shoes, the cabriolet off the... motorcycle, the amount of times I just say turn out Jody. I'm not seeing what we're working on. I thought we had room for a triple.
that is my quote.
That is literally Eric and Dale's class. I'm sorry, I just thought we had room for a triple.
I thought we had room for a triple.
And a shablam.
If you didn't know, I can do a shablam. Well,
if you don't know, now you know.
A dip if you want to use the technical term, the ballroom scene.
But yeah, Center Stage, if you haven't seen it, go watch it. Go watch it.
Well, I think we can safely say we made it through that subject, my co-host Luke.
I brought this up and Eric said, that is our next podcast. And I said, okay, I'm 100% down. I can talk about Center Stage for hours. We probably could have done a 5-hour, 2-part series on it.
Well,
but...
we would have just ended up quoting the whole film.
We could have honestly just done a watch along where we just sat there and watched the movie
live
and commented.
It,
yeah,
but live podcasted it.
You're welcome that we didn't do that.
Yeah.
We've made it back to the, what did we say now? Back to the now?
Back to the way, but I don't know. It's been so long.
We've made it back to present day.
I feel like Carly is the one that has all the quotes, BB.
Oh, BB. She has so many quotes, BB. And she knows exactly what to say. This is usually what she says. We're back to the... present, baby.
We did it.
And now we talk about our...
take it all, bitch.
That is... I do say that, too.
That's
that
a line.
A quote from the movie. He's not just being mean. She does. That is a joke. about the, what did the elephant say to the
mouse?
Mouse. And I got pricked with the...
Take it all, bitch.
Yeah.
I don't remember the joke. I don't even think the whole joke...
He gets stuck with a thorn and the elephant goes, ow! And the mouse says, take it all, bitch.
But why is that funny? I don't think the full joke's explained in the movie. Like, I think it's just a line. She says it to her mom.
She does say it to her mom, which is the best part. She learns it with the, like, non-dancer people, and then she says
when
it to
she eats
mom,
a pizza.
And then throws it up.
And throws it up.
Wow.
And then that's when she does... The doctor boyfriend is like, why are you doing that? And she's like, I'm the best goddamn dancer in the American Ballet. Who the hell
are you?
Nobody.
He's a doctor.
He saves lives.
He saves lives.
All right. Well, now we can officially say we made it back.
We're back to present day. G'day, g'day. We're back to present day.
Yes, we're back in normal Australian accents.
With our, what do we call it, pop picks?
Pop picks of the week, BB. What are you watching? What are you engaging with?
Well, me and Eric have been watching all the same things, so, but my pop pick, and Eric will know that I love it, is on Netflix, Heartstopper.
Yes, it is very good.
Eric watched it first, and then he basically watched me watch it because I rewatched it, and it's just the most sweet, gay, what I needed when I was a teenager show that I've ever seen. It's just a great representation of queer teen love. It's dramatic, but not in a detrimental way. It's sweet.
Yeah, it's not, there's no kill your gay trope.
No, it's very sweet and realistic, and what I really hope is the now for queers.
Queer media.
Yeah. For and queer teens.
Queer teens, yeah.
Yeah, and what people are going through, which I don't think I could do with social media and all that, but it's definitely a good, I think it's a great representation. I don't understand how they're going to do two more seasons, but it's been renewed for two more seasons.
I think they're going to focus on different stories.
I hope so. Because I don't want them to...
The creator said like she wants to do a whole section on like asexuality, which I think is really cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Love that.
And there's also, it's also a great series because yes, they are two cis men or teen boys, but they also have white teen boys, but they also have like a interracial lesbian couple on the show. Like it
they have
has
a
more
trans person, they have a straight person who they have a lot of straight people, but the one straight, I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to
spoil
it.
Oh, you want to spoil it.
I don't want to spoil
fair.
It,
That's
but
fair.
Anyways,
go watch it.
Go watch it. Just go watch it. I don't want to spoil anything, but go watch it. Eric, what is your pop pick?
My pop pick is something else that me and Luke have been watching, and we love her. It's just Paris Hilton in general.
Paris Hilton in general.
I know she's problematic at times, but she's slithing, guys.
She's just slithing. Just like,
I don't know why you wouldn't want to watch her.
Paris Hilton does have two distinct voices.
Very distinct.
So we've been watching, we both watched Cooking with Paris, and now we are watching Paris in Love, which is all about her wedding.
But also about her dealing with the issues
trauma.
Of her documentary and the trauma that she had as a teenager. So if you're thinking light, fun Paris, Paris in Love isn't quite for you.
If you
go
want
to Cooking with Paris.
Go with Cooking with Paris.
If you want a more in-depth version of Paris, Paris in Love is what we're at. And we're going to finish it tonight. So
yes.
Maybe
and we've
next
been
episode
listening
we'll let
you know. To Stars Are Blind a lot as well. And Best Friend's Ass.
That's true. Yeah.
Fuck boys everywhere trying to get a pass, but I can't stop looking at my best friend's ass.
So yeah, it's all about the gay love and Paris Hilton in this house right now.
Yes. We're also going to start Bling Empire.
We'll see.
You love it. All right, well, we're going to sign off. I'm going to be honest with you, listeners. Uploads might be infrequent. We don't know.
We don't know
how it's going to work, but we're here. And
we're
excited.
Queer.
We are.
So get used to it.
That's the motto of our show right now.
Sliv.
Sliv. That's slang and living at the same time.
Bye.
Sliving. Bye.